Good evening, Grace Congregation. Wonderful to stand up here and look at you once again. Tonight I want to use a couple of texts. We have an explicit text, Galatians 4:19, if you will look at your Bible there. And as Mike read Colossians, the first chapter, verse 1 through 6. We have, as a Reformed church and the rest of the churches that around the globe that God has ordained and has put together, and they're preaching the Word of God, there are rumblings that are going on because of the things that are going on in a political arena, problems, trials, killings, blowing up people, there's not just in what happened yesterday or the day before. And so the church is kind of a little bit unnerved about how to handle that. How do you describe all those things, right? And so I picked some verses that perhaps I think might address some of our the things that we're struggling with. God has given one overall promise to the church, and that word is hope. People want to take the Old Testament and work it into the New Testament and tell us that God has given us many promises. For instance, marriages are going to work right. That's our hope. Or the world is going to be a better place. Or things, politicians will have some resolve to the problems that are going on. Emissaries and sent. The G20 is coming up, and we know from history that all those things have failed. In one way or another, they have failed. So we have to look at Scripture as to just what God has promised and what God has given us as individuals a responsibility to carry the message. So Galatians 4:19, which is a verse that I kind of grew up as a baby Christian, and that is, it says, the Apostle Paul is praying, and he's saying that my children, and it's not talking about little children. In the Greek, it's technon, which is anyone. It's an affectionate word from a father. Like you could call a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old technon, or a child in this case. So the Apostle Paul is praying that my children who I am laboring until Christ is formed in you. To me, that is a something that every Christian, not necessarily those that handle the word, primarily those, but every Christian must understand what that scripture means. It's not a one-time thing that the Apostle Paul was preaching then. It still continues. We as Christians, whomever we deal with, whether it's in the world, it's an open arena, it's in politics and whatnot, our aim is to bring people. The gospel has its own inherent power. We're not bringing the gospel. We're not creating the gospel. The gospel is already a given. It has its inherent power to convert. We don't convert people. The Holy Spirit does that. That is understood. But what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here, he's dealing with Galatians, and a lot of you know the Galatians. It's Judaizers coming behind the Church of Galatia. Paul has been there once. He comes and he writes his Epistle to Galatians for the second time, warning them of be careful of incorrect doctrine, justification by faith and justification by the grace of God. But he works this verse in 4:19, and he's trying to pour out his heart as an apostle and as a Christian. I labor again, he will use the word again, until Christ is formed in you. Taking that Colossians 1 that Mike read for me to save me some time, I want to put those two texts together. And 2 Corinthians, for instance, and Colossians 1, verse primarily chapter 1, verse 6, it tells us that we have a responsibility as believers. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the responsibility to spend our lives laboring until Christ really is formed in believers. God has done his work. The Holy Spirit has called them. The Galatians were there. They were a well-known church. They had understood the gospel. They had genuinely believed in the grace of God. But yet, here they are in trouble. So the apostle writes these famous words. There's nothing in this world outside of the gospel that's ready to meet what the world needs and the problems that we're faced with. And coming from Europe and being in this kind of situations, I think we Americans are kind of sleepyish as to what's going on around the world. The problems, the trials, the despair that millions of people are facing. How do we deal with that? What is our job? It's not sending food. It's not sending money. The Christian church, every believer, has a responsibility to come to this point, as the Apostle Paul prays, until Christ is formed in you. So let's look at that for a little bit. So we have to begin by asking some questions. Do you know the gospel when we're dealing with Christians? I faced that this morning in Atria in some detail. They say they're professing Christians, but I want to know, where do you stand? Just tell me, who are you? What do you have to sustain you in your older age in this particular case? And I get all kinds of strange answers, and my job is there until, in my limited way and responsibility that God has called me to, is I need to bring them to the point where, is Christ really formed in you? That was the question the apostle was asking. If those Galatian believers could fall back, it wasn't a matter of them losing their salvation. It's a matter of a question, is really Christ in his fullness and his glory, is he residing in you? Is he really formed in you? And that is the only answer that we have to any question, to the world's problems and whatnot. Politics are not going to do it. Again, meetings are not going to do it. So we understand the gospel. And that needs to be made very, very clear. So we're looking at ministry of reconciliation. We have been called to make sure that the gospel is not only preached, but is it preached correctly, and it is it continuously looking into the people that you're preaching to make sure that Christ in his full image, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If that approach is not taken, you're leaving people in some misery, believers. Unless they are well-founded in the fullness of God, and Colossians speaks of, we are really are not doing a job. Right? So Galatians 4:19, let me drill into that to make the point. What do we, any of us, who God has called to himself, when Christ has apprehended us, what do we do with that gift? We minister, we preach, but at the end, we must ask ourselves the question, are we preaching the whole entirety of Christ? We can preach Christ. I was preaching this morning out of Romans 5, verse 5, 6 through 11. And I got some strange looks when we're beginning to say, Christ died for the ungodly. It raised some eyebrows and some questions afterwards. So Paul uses the affectionate term, my children, not babies again, with whom I labor, and the labor breaks down to he was fatigued by preaching the same thing again to them. That's the literal meaning behind it. That Christ is formed in you, not just dwelling in them, but formed. We can say Christ is dwelling in you. That already has taken place through God's grace, unmerited favor. That has already happened. Christ has dwelled in them, but there was something lacking for them to look back and say, desire to go back to the law. That's why he ends up with, you foolish Galatians. And it's foolish to even think that way. Christ isn't dwelling in you, but I believe what the Apostle Paul is kind of sarcastically saying, you're missing some things. Right? With whom I labor until something. Christ is formed in you. Not just indwelling, Christ indwelling in you, but form. That word, I have heard all sorts of commentaries and people saying, well, it means to be formed. I want to zero in on that word. Is like you build a foundation, and you put 2x4s or 2x6s, and you begin to pour concrete, and then you work it and what. I don't think that description, that definition applies to what Paul is trying to say here. Because if we look at the original Greek behind it, it says something different. Paul is using the analogy of a laboring until Christ is formed in you as kind of a birth pains, but not in the process of the pregnancy. There's discomfort when my wife had three daughters. It's you know, the vomiting and all the stuff that goes with being pregnant. But I think Paul is zeroing in on the actual time, not the delivery, the painful delivery point, but his point is in the process of that, the pregnancy, are all the members coming together? That's what the words really come up to. In other words, I don't know much about medical stuff. One cell divides and you become two cells and X amount of cells which form fingers, they form hands, they form the head, they form the brain, the legs and whatnot. That is the process. This is what the Apostle Paul is getting into. This is what he's trying to get across. Step by step, we that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, the process is not just telling them, you know, grace and you've been justified by, is really Christ formed in you, one step at a time, one cell at a time. Have we gotten across to the people just what is it that you stand on? I use the word hope out of Colossians, because at the end of the day, you and I have nothing better to offer them than what's happening. Tomorrow you might not be here. Where's that hope resting in? What is the hope that's built in you? What's it resting in? Is it tomorrow, or is it what's at the end of this trip, of this journey that God has called us to? Right? Until Christ is forming the idea, really, I'm going to be about as a little bit technical as I know how in the Greek, it is the idea of adjustment of parts. Like an infant, an embryo begins to form the parts. This is what Paul is trying to say. Until all the parts of this glorious justification they have enjoyed, all of them come together. And you come to the point where the fullness of Christ and the fullness of God resides in us, and that's when the hope begins to shape up. What is the end of the birth that I think the Apostle Paul is inferring here? It is that when the child is born, that is a picture of our hope. We know where we stand regardless of what happens tomorrow. If you talk to the people that have been through this nonsense that's going on the last couple, 3 years, it's not an easy thing to see and hear and watch of somebody's head being cut off. Imagine being the parent of that child, that young man. What would you say about your hope? What would you say in a hope of, I was a young San Diego PD patrolman for a very short time, a couple of years, and you really don't get an idea of what depravity means till you're out on the street. You don't know, you don't understand what goes through the despair of a people that the young ones have died, that somebody just stuck a gun in their heads and blew their brains out in the front yard because he was so. Problems in life tend to disrupt us of this hope. And if we're not careful that we built this hope that are at the end of our preaching, at the end of our ministry, at the end of church, it is this, that the hope of the glory of God is the very end thing that we look for, the finished product. We preach the gospel. The gospel has its own power. It works. The grace of God is it brings people to salvation, not us. But our ministry is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is to bring people, Christians, to that final hope. What is Christianity all about? It's not how our marriage is going to work out necessarily. It's not how we're going to pay the bills. It's not the house that you live in. What is the end of Christianity? It is that eternal life is waiting for us. That is the hope. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to zero in on his Galatians. You foolish Galatians, I preach the hope to you. You dare go back in the face of the glory that's been built in you? Have you forgotten? He's reminding them again that the totality of the Godhead has been instilled in them. And they're forgetting that because they've been agitated. How much do you think, how much agitation do you think some of these people that are going through this horrific stuff, how much agitation do you think they're going through? You think that Christian churches are not losing hope? Displaced? Killed? If our hope, if that totality of what the Apostle Paul is trying to get, until Christ is formed in you in all his parts, all his hands, in other words, in human terms, the hands, the fingers, feet, everything comes together, and the result of that is this hope that we have in God. Where do you go? What do you do? What do you stand on? What do you run to when things begin to unravel? Until all the parts are formed in his image. Another way of putting it. Again, an embryo continues to be formed in cells. Everything is in us. He's shaped the way Christ in all his earthly form. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get at. Until Christ reigns wholly in our hearts is another scripture. Until you wholly and entirely embrace the doctrines that we have of eternal life. We might be missing our ministry, some things in our ministry. We might not be doing the complete job that we should be doing. And until you become wholly clothed in that righteousness of Christ, which produces the hope, we might rethink of the business of the church as to what we are preaching, not in this church. We have been saved by his life. To what we strive for is people that have been given this ministry of reconciliation. That's the question. That's what Paul is getting at. The goal is to strive to see Christ in full maturity in others. That's the ministry of reconciliation. It's not just reconciling us to God, and that is a biblical doctrine. But that is one step. In Romans 8, we see the complete package. For those who God has called, he also justified, and those who justified to the end is he's also glorified. The whole package is one, but we need to begin to explain to people, otherwise we are looking at disastrous consequences for people that are suffering. And I think our pastor brought it up some weeks ago. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for us. What are you going to stand on? The hope that lies in us must be matured in ourselves, and we strive to be matured in all of this. Christ in you and others, God has called to himself. We need to build all that glory in believers. Again, the apostle's meaning is clear. My children, until Christ is formed in you. Do you think that the Apostle Paul had done a good enough job the first time? You better bet he did. Otherwise, he would not be that big of an apostle. He had done the job. What happened? They begin. Problems rose up. Troubles. Dissent. And all of a sudden, here they are. They've forgotten their hope. That's the end of our trip. That is the end of our lives in this particular life. At the end of our lives, what waits for us, regardless of what is thrown at us? Amen. I think my time is up there. Thank you.